You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
This is East Carolina All-American Bryant Packard, and we're talking Pirate baseball and The Sports Objective.
You're listening to Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on The Sports Objective. Join us every Sunday night on Facebook Live and our YouTube channel as we talk East Carolina baseball. As we look back at the previous week and take a look at what's ahead. Now, let's talk Pirate baseball.
Welcome in to Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center in Greenville. Pirates drop the series to Houston, in fact, losing this afternoon 6-4, I should say. And now they're 20-8 overall. And, of course, 1-2 in the conference play and with Houston. Let's bring in Bubba Rosenbaum. Bubba, man, how are you doing?
I'm here so I won't get fined.
Okay, you're going to get fined. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's fairly accurate. Obviously, I would not get fined. At least I hope you won't find me, Dave. But
$1,000.
Man, what a rough week. All the games at, on the weekend, that is, were competitive and decided by a grand total of 4 runs.
Right.
Pirates, unfortunately, coming up on the short end, dropping the season opening, well, the conference opening series to Houston. And today, battle back from a deficit, as we did in all 3 games, actually, and led there in the late innings, but then bullpen unable to get it done. But despite the shortcomings of, everywhere this weekend we were deficient. There's no doubt that the guys, in my opinion, left it all out there. I think you battle back, as I mentioned, from deficits in all 3 games, and you just didn't do the things you needed to do in any of the 3 phases. Offensively, I think what we scored a combined 13 runs on something like 22 hits, so not even 8 hits per game, and unfortunately wasted an excellent performance by Treya Savage on Friday night when we were unable to hold the 4-2 lead in the bottom of the ninth, and got a no decision there for Trey, and just tough all the way around.
Yeah, the thing that, you talk about regrets in life and what could have been, should have, could have, would have. I was telling you, Bubba, I want fans not to – I don't think they're in the panic room. However, it's very frustrating because you have the game 1 on Friday night. We didn't. Yesterday, thank God for Riley Johnson. And then today we had the game, 1, I felt like. And in fact, you think about it, one of the things that was disappointing this weekend was, man, Bubba, uncharacteristic of the Pirates. So one of the storylines for me, 7, not 1 or 2, 7 errors this weekend. I couldn't believe, I thought it was 4. And then I heard on the broadcast this afternoon, 7 errors. I was like, you probably know, but I can't remember the last time we had 7 errors in a weekend. Maybe, but it just seems weird.
Yeah. Had 3 multiple error games, 3 consecutive multiple error games for the first time since late April or early May of 2018, and had multiple errors in consecutive games for the first time in a little over 2 years. We had not committed 2 or more errors in back-to-back games since way back in March 20th and 21st of 2021 when we did so against Illinois State. So very atypical and just kind of a – I don't think there's anything to worry about because coming into the weekend we were 980 or thereabouts with our fielding percentage. And it's just so unusual to see the Pirates commit 8 errors this week. Not as bad today, just the one error, but that one was a very costly one, as it came with two outs, and then Houston proceeded to hit a two-run bomb to make it 3-0 there. I think it was about the fourth inning.
Yeah.
So yeah, very, very unusual, very sloppy defensively. But then you also had some good plays by Mac. You also had Riley Johnson. You know, he made a play. If he didn't make the play that he made yesterday, then who knows? We may have gotten swept. But he obviously came through in the clutch there in the bottom of the fourth when right. It was a 2-2 game. The bases loaded for the Cougars, and ran the ball down in the right center gap that would have cleared the bases because, especially with two outs, running on contact, if he doesn't make that catch, it's a 5-2 lead for Houston.
Yeah, again, I'm upset, and I don't want to sound like I make excuses for Cliff Godwin every week. You know, I think to me, I was more – I will say this, and it sounds crazy for me to say. I was more hurt about Tuesday night. We'll talk about that in a little bit, about losing the series to Wilmington. I can't – you know, Wilmington's a rival game, and I know the conference games are more important, but the reason why Tuesday night hurt so bad, Bubba, is that I knew that the going on the road part was going to be difficult, and I really believe that the Pirates – I don't think we played our best baseball, obviously. And the good news, I say it every week on this show, we haven't played our best baseball. You know, I know that Matt was wondering, is this the best we're going to do? I think if you know anything about this program, as the season goes along, we are going to get better. And I just have a gut feeling about that. And just by experience and past experience, I think it's not a matter if we're going to make a regional. It's a matter if we're going to host a regional. It's not a matter if we're going to host and then from there, then you have to look at hosting, getting that national seed where you have a chance to host the super regional at home. I think those are the things that we have to be careful when we lose a lot of midweek games and now losing the first series of the conference.
Yeah, everything's still ahead of us, but as you mentioned, you know, just for example, you know, dropping this series this weekend, Houston coming into the weekend was right around 190th, give or take, with the RPI. And you know, they saw their RPI taking 2 out of 3 from a top 10, top 15 RPI team at the time rise up to about 160th. Meanwhile, the Pirates, I believe, began the week prior to that UNC Wilmington loss. We were right around 10th, and now we're 29th, at least in Warren Nolan. I haven't checked the others, but and Warren Nolan is not the official RPI, but they're normally not more than a spot or two off. So we saw our RPI drop right at 20 spots this week. So definitely a lot of ground to make up to put ourselves back in the talk for maybe getting into one of those top 8 seeds. You're on mute.
Sorry about that. I don't expect us to win 20 in a row this year, but I think that we're going to have to start winning a whole bunch. And certainly, again, we're 20-8. So it's not like we haven't done very well so far, but we got to be careful. You know, Bubba, Tuesday, we have a huge game against NC State. That game has become bigger than the rivalry because their RPI, I don't know what their RPI is off the top of my head, but that will help us out if we can win that game.
Yeah, I believe I saw in Warren Nolan earlier this afternoon, they were 9th. So yeah. Huge opportunity, not only everything that comes with the matchup with NC State from a rivalry standpoint and what it means as far as recruiting, but this year, and as it so often does, it'd be a nice boost. I mean, just playing the game, but then you win it, and coming off a tough 1-3 week where you dropped a series on the road to a team that was not much inside of 200, that could, you know, be huge on going into a big series at home against UCF.
No doubt. And we've got to, that's the one thing we got to do is just keep focusing. We've done well. We're 16-2 at home. And so you would think that would help us. And it'll be curious. It'll be interesting to see how we do, Bubba, on who do you think we're going to start? Do you have an idea for, you think it'll be Hunter for Tuesday night for starting pitcher?
Yeah, based on recent history, I mean, I don't know enough about NC State's lineup, but my guess would be Jake Hunter or potentially Zach Root. But I would go with, if I had to guess, I'd say it would probably be Jake Hunter.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's my – I don't know anything, obviously, but I definitely think it'll be Hunter. That's my – if I had to guess, and we'll see how that – plays out. But I think, Bubba, you and I both are pretty much positive guys. And I remember vividly last year how you were the guy getting us off the ledge, where you were talking about how State had a slow start in 21, and here they have made the College World Series. And last year we won 20 games, you know, like back to back to back to back. So, you know, plenty of baseball left, plenty ahead of us. But the key is, when we have situational, you know, where batting, you know, we have to do a better job of, I think it went from, to me, it's gone from swinging at everything, it felt like, to now we're watching, we're not being very aggressive and we're watching a lot of pitches. Am I wrong on that? Or is it, I mean, it seems like we're just sitting there and, you know, not swinging at everything is one thing, but at the same time, you got to swing at something to win the game.
Yeah, without, you know, going back and rewatching it, I don't have that much of an opinion there. You know, I was able to watch a large percentage of it this weekend, not as much today because the kids and I went to the Hornets Raptors game, so I was watching some of it there, and then had a chance to watch a little of it after we left the game, yeah, very, very frustrating weekend, especially, you know, offensively, you look at it, and this had been a trend. We didn't want to make too much of it, but you know, it continues to happen and get off to a slow start and not much run production until the mid to late innings. So that's something that really needs to change, especially on the road, but that's been a problem a decent percentage of the time, even at home. Where you've had deficits there in the first three or four innings of a ball game.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully that's something we can begin to change on Tuesday night against NC State. And Craig chimes in. He said, good point. Nothing drives me more crazy than not swinging at close pitches with a 3-2 count.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to go back and see, you know, out of the strikeouts you have, how many, you know, came looking as opposed to swinging.
Yeah, I mean, Craig, my thing is that, we don't want you to be chasing pitches, but at the same time, you know, we can't, in order to make it to a super regional like this team is capable of, I think that's what, like I said, this program is a super regional program and only a matter of time we're going to knock down the doors for Omaha. It could be, look at you remember the error that JC made in the game two of the Super Regional last year? I mean, you know, I think one of the things that Bubba, I was going to mention, Craig, I know, thank you, by the way, Craig, my friend, and everybody watching and listening right now. My personal thing is there seems to be, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but it seems to be having seven errors again is so uncharacteristic of this team and this program. It just seems like this team has lost its focus. Maybe they're tired. I don't know what the case may be. But again, winning and losing is so razor thin when you're playing sports. And then on top of that, Bubba, you know, I don't know if with the RPI being so low for a lot of the American, the rest of the teams, that we're not going to have some style points, don't you think? I mean, it's going to take more than just winning the series, I'm afraid.
Yeah, you look at it, we're exactly at the halfway point. We're 20-8 right now, 1-2 right. in the American. So
second half of the season now.
Yeah, second half of the season. And we've gone 20-4, 20-8, 20-4 over the last three.
Hey, Daddy.
Over the last three seasons in the American. So I think that we're really going to you're going to have a remarkably strong finish in the second half to get back into that top eight at this point. That series loss was a crusher. Now, if you run off, not that it will have to be something like it was last year, but I do think it needs to be a remarkably good finish. Something like, I think we need to finish 44-12 or thereabouts, and just off the top of my head. And so, well, that would mean that you'd have to go 24-4 and then have a good showing, if not win the tournament. I think something like that would probably be required, maybe not quite that good, but, and then for hosting, if you duplicate what you did in the first half of the season, you're 40-16 and then win the tournament, you're probably going to host, I would think, but, yeah. I think it would be very much on the bubble. So I think we're going to have to be better the second half record wise than we were the first, probably to feel very good going into selection Monday.
Well, Bubba, I'm going down to Clearwater. Do you think I'm about to cover the tournament this year for the first time? It's been on my bucket list. Should I not go? Should I stay home so the Pirates will win?
My philosophy there has always been, one of the reasons I haven't done that, besides just conflicts with the kids and everything they have going on, it's right there, the week before a regional, super regional, and then, hopefully this year in the very near future, Omaha. So as much as I would love to be in Clearwater and just saving the funds.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to do with tax refund. And, any extra money that I get for gigs, I usually do for Pirate Club. And so between Pirate Club and then obviously this, but I tell you what, you win the regular season, you win the tournament. And I think with the keep, people are going to be worried. Obviously we were number eight. We'll probably be down to, how far do you think we'll drop? That was one of my questions, 12, 15, somewhere in there. It'll be a significant drop.
Yeah, before we wrap things up, I'll take a look at what
transpired
around us this week. Obviously that's a big factor. But based on a 1-3 week and a series loss at Houston, a team that was just inside 200 in the RPI, I think we deserve to probably drop out of the top 15. I think we'll drop 8 to 10 spots or something.
Okay. Well,
I'll see what other teams in the top 15 to 20 did.
Yeah, it depends on. We may be fortunate that those teams didn't do as well and they dropped more. I don't know. Or some teams would go up, but we'll have to wait and see. Obviously, that's for us to worry about and talk about as fans and media, because otherwise, I know that the coaches and players don't care about that when it's all said and done. By the way, put your questions, comments. You can do that for YouTube and Facebook if you're watching live. And obviously, you can go back anytime, and we have it archived on Facebook and YouTube. And don't forget, by the way, to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have a goal is it football season, Bubba, to have 1,000? So we have a couple hundred more to get.
Hopefully by the time the Pirates head to the big house, we will have eclipsed that 1,000 subscriber plateau.
Oh, man, that's going to be so amazing. I can't wait. Cannot wait. Huge Pirate. By the way, get your tickets for season tickets. 1-800-DIAL-ECU for football. 1-800-DIAL-ECU. Or you can simply go on like I do. Just go to ecupirates.com and you can get your tickets that way, whichever way works best for you. But you can go there, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can go anytime you want there. It's going to be a lot of fun. In the big house, but obviously the season tickets are going to be a lot of fun to watch those games. And I know Coach Houston, if you want to find out more about that, you can go to our YouTube channel and Facebook, and you can find out about the spring practices. And by the way, the spring game is next Saturday afternoon. Looking forward to that as well. Bubba, very excited. Let's talk about with baseball. I know a lot of people have questions about that, and there are people that are obviously hurt, and we're disappointed, we're sad. Every emotion that's not good. But I think one of the questions I had for you, my friend, this came to mind towards the end of the game, and I'm just going to ask it because, you know, it's one of those things. If you're a coach, do you change the lineup? Is that something you think is a problem, an issue? The lineup. I mean,
obviously. I mean, this is just it's easy to say. You know, when you don't see them day in, day out, and right. Everything that goes into it. So, but I think what I'd have to go back and look as far as today's game. You know, who, let's see, did Carter lead off once again? Carter Cunningham was the lead off all three games this weekend, and he had been very hot as of late. Now, personally, I like Luke Nowak there.
DH today.
Yeah. Personally, I like Luke there. If Hooves in the lineup, which he wasn't much, that was a little surprising as well. I know we brought him in pinch hit role. I guess it was Friday's game, I think it was Friday's game. Maybe I'm mixing that up with Saturday. But Hoove had the big pinch hit single to right field, and so I was a little surprised. So it makes me wonder if he was maybe, especially I know he had gone 0-for against Wilmington, but prior to that, he'd been pretty hot with the bat and swinging it much better. So it makes me curious if Hoove maybe had a nagging injury of some sort, or if that was strictly, you know, coach's decision based on, you know, putting what he felt was the best lineup for that game on the field.
And Cunningham made some great catches today, laying out and appreciate him very much. But that's the good news about this program, that Palumbo and Coach Godwin, Austinite, these guys are doing such a great job is recruiting. And I won't make the mistake, they are reloading every single year, and looking forward to that. By the way, on the screen right now is about the Pirate Club. Join today. Give them a call, 252-737-4540. Or you can simply go, like I do, to ecupirateclub.com, and you can make a pledge there. You can set up payment plans, all kinds of stuff. The good news is, if you say, I want to donate, I don't know, $1,000, then you can give so much every 2 weeks, every month. You can do it one time. A lot of great stuff there, but make sure that you donate to the Pirate Club. And season tickets, like we told you, I believe last week, is set. That's close to the 16,000 mark. So we're hoping, not right now, but on pace. For 16,000 like last year. We're hoping that we can bust that open to like 18 or 20,000. So again, go to ecupirates.com to get your, as far as your tickets are concerned, and make a donation to the Pirate Club. We have the Pirates Unite campaign going on very, very well. And Bubba, I believe coming up soon, we have Ryan Robinson, right, coming up on the show. So we'll talk to him about the Pirate Club and give him kudos for all the fundraising that's been going on.
Yeah, we'll address football season ticket sales, the annual donations to the Pirate Club, you know, where we finished up in 2022, where we are so far through the first quarter of 2023. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk Pirates Unite and a lot of other things with Ryan Robertson, the executive director of the Pirate Club, here in the next day or two.
All right. Sounds very good. In fact, again, questions or comments. Want to give a shout out to Shell. What's up, Shell? He's in Charlotte. Appreciate him very much to support the program. and his great son, Randy. Randy is a lot like Alex. He's just older. He's playing two sports at the same time as my son, Alex. So Shell and I know what it's all about. And then Mackenzie's getting ready to play softball. So I got my hands full, Shell, brother. but I know he plays lacrosse and AAU basketball, Bubba, at the same time. So travel ball and that lacrosse team, I believe, Charlotte Catholic, Shell, isn't number one in lacrosse in the state of North Carolina, I believe, for high school lacrosse, for men's lacrosse. So congratulations to them, and what a great year. And Randy, one of only two freshmen, Bubba, to make the team for varsity. So really proud of Randy. Shell's a good friend of ours, and appreciate his support of the program. And that's, hey, when you have stories like that, you know, Bubba, I know that fans would not agree with me, but I would love, love, love to have a men's lacrosse team and Randy be one of those initial recruits to come to East Carolina. I know it's not going to happen, so I'm not going to hold my breath, but that would be really cool to have a legacy recruit.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of lacrosse, obviously the women's lacrosse for the Pirates is off to an excellent start. They are 9-3, and most recently yesterday, they were at Johnson Stadium, picked up a 15-10 win over the Vanderbilt Commodores.
Yeah, great. Anytime I saw that, anytime you can get a win over the SEC. By the way, Bubba, hey, how about this?
That's actually their, I believe their, that's a conference game, if I'm not mistaken, because I'm pretty sure them in Florida are in the American.
I forgot that. Thank you, Bubba, for mentioning that. You're right. I'm sorry about that. I did know that, and I forgot. This Saturday, they're going to be taking on Cincinnati Cancer Awareness Day at Johnson Stadium at noon. So you've got football, the spring game, you got baseball and lacrosse. I know off the top of my head. I'm not sure about softball. I have to check.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure softball's at home. I'll double check on that. Softball, you know, while we're on the topic, they are now 22-15, however 0-6 in the American. Really played the team that's favored to win the league, if I'm not mistaken. If not, they're certainly right there, second or third. Last year's champion, a team that went to a super regional, UCF. And they were softball, and I was mistaken. Softball is on the road next weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, as the series always are in baseball and softball on Easter weekend.
Oh, that's right.
And they'll be out at Houston taking on the Cougs, 7:00 on Thursday, 7:00 on Friday, and 2:00 on Saturday. All three games available on ESPN Plus. The Pirates' sweep at the hands of UCF this weekend was at Johnson Stadium, Joyner Family Stadium. And
a nice facility, by the way. Johnson Stadium and the Joyner family there, Joyner Family Stadium, that is really, really nice. And also want to give a shout out to Patrick Johnson and Courtney Layton on the call for softball. They did an excellent job this weekend. Really enjoyed that as watching both baseball. It was a doubleheader for me this afternoon. You had softball and baseball going on back-to-back, so a lot of fun. Unfortunately, both teams did not pick up a win, but you know what? Any day is a great day to be a Pirate. You could be full for another fan base. So,
yeah, definitely frustrating to be 0-6 in the league, but two very good programs in South Florida and UCF.
And I think two in the league, I believe, off the top of my head.
And yeah, probably so. And in North Carolina, took down the Tar Heels in the midweek, 8-4 in Chapel Hill. So I think the program is undoubtedly trending in the right direction. I believe 22 wins, that either matches or actually I think surpasses by one or two wins what we won a season ago.
Right.
So, Coach Shane Winkler, I really believe he and his staff are going to get it done. It's just going to take some time, and We really need someone like, and then this is not a shot at anyone we have on staff, because we have had some quality pitching at times, but it'd be nice to land someone like a Tony Paisley, you know, where you can really rely on them to come through game after game in the circle.
Yeah, and also Bubba being year two, this guy's got a track record. And in fact, if you look at Charleston Southern and at GW, they have NCAA bursts. So this is something that, in other words, if it's year four or five and, you know, you're 0-6, but it's year two. And again, I think they're going to start winning in the conference. And I'll have to look again to see, but I believe that UCF and USF, I always get those schools mixed up, the Florida schools, those are two of the best, if not the two best, in the league. So I'm really proud of softball and proud of the athletic program. I think we've got a lot of great things going. Bubba, we did have a football question that Shell wanted to ask real quick, and we'll get back to baseball. But he was asking about Alex and about Mason Garcia being pushed, this Alex Flynn pushing Mason Garcia in the spring with spring practices, which is a really good thing.
Yeah, it definitely is. And we'll definitely talk some more about football later on. But if you'd like to hear those comments that Coach Houston had about the development of Mason Garcia and Alex Flynn, definitely go to our YouTube channel and check out the spring practice reports. And you can hear from Coach Houston, Donnie Kirkpatrick, Blake Harrell, and then also a few players, I believe. Yeah, definitely have had a good spring, what we've heard so far. And you know, it was a struggle early for the offense, as you might guess. And Coach Kirkpatrick said that those first five or six practices, you know, he was wondering if they're going to do anything right. But they're about practice seven and eight. You stack two or three solid practices together on the offensive side, and he said things are really coming along nicely. And you heard Coach Houston on multiple occasions just raving over his running back room. He said in the most recent scrimmage, the second scrimmage yesterday, that the wide receivers had a few too many drops, but they also made some really good catches. So just need a little more consistency and just folks continuing to step up there. But Kerry King and Jalen Johnson and the guys we do have with some experience, and in Jalen Johnson's case, fairly proven, and they have done some nice things. Hopefully we can add a piece or two with some good size, as we obviously lose Zay Winstead and C.J. Johnson and a couple guys that are 6'3", 6'4", 215-plus.
Yeah, and the guy that he's going to have a big year is Cy Hatfield. I think he's going to be huge. And by the way, yeah. The running back room with Marlon Gunn and all those guys, and plus Rajay Harris is going to be – I think he'll be even better than he was before. I really do. I think he's going to have a big year, and we'll see how that turns out. But
An ACL injury, obviously, I don't mean to – trivialize it, because it's still a huge deal, you know, very tough physically and mentally to come back from. But at the same time, with all the improvements that have been made over the last two, three decades, and I mean, an ACL injury coming back from it is not what it once was.
Right, and Shell and I, our generation in the 90s. That could be career ending almost, you know, or it was definitely like climbing Mount Everest to come back, like you said. And that's, you know, 30 years ago. They've made a lot of improvements even in the last 5 or 10 years and that stuff. And I am not going to speak on that because that's not my expertise. but anyway, let's talk about baseball. In fact, X Training's brought to you by, presented by Next Level Training Center. Go to nextleveltc.com and you can call them at 252-756-NEXT. And we appreciate Trent and Gaynell Britt for their support of the program. They are so awesome, and we appreciate them. And they've got a lot of great clinics and camps and different things, I know. But Bubba, as you know, there that place is so popular where all the kids, cool kids go, that if you don't get a jump on it and find out what's going on for your kids, then unfortunately, you're going to be left out.
Yeah, I really appreciate the support of Trent and Gay Nail and all the excellent work that they do with their tremendous staff at Next Level Training Center located on Wimbledon Drive in Greenville. And kind of shifting gears back to baseball, you know, taking a look at, we talked about the performance on the weekend and then in the midweek against UNC Wilmington. And you heard Cliff Godwin's comments post-game, or at least a lot of our listeners did. And he said the thing that really made him sick was and want to puke is that he felt like UNC Wilmington was more excited to play the game and better prepared than the Pirates were. And that certainly left him pretty nauseated, I guess you could say, after yeah. Tuesday night's game. But you know, the Pirates, they did JC, despite a lot of our offensive struggles this week, and JC did have a hit in every game. And Jacob Jenkins Coward is our co-PGX player of the week. 5 out of 15, pair of doubles, a home run. That home run came against the Seahawks. 4 runs scored. But I guess he had one RBI. He may have had one against Houston, but 1 or 2 RBI. And so that just shows you not a whole lot of runners in scoring position for JC and the other Pirate bats this weekend. Against the Cougs or against the Seahawks for that matter. And then Riley Johnson, even though he was something like 2 out of 9 or 2 for 10 on the week, he did have that multi-hit game in Friday's 5-4 10-inning loss to Houston, including a triple. But the main reason we had him as a co-player of the week is because of the tremendous catch, highlight reel catch he made in the bottom of the fourth of game two. Had he not made that catch, who knows if the Pirates win that game, because they would have been looking to battle out of a 5-2 deficit there going into the middle innings there in what would have been the top of the fifth. So unbelievable catch by Riley Johnson. I think it may have been on the Sports Center top 10. I know I nominated it and mentioned them on Twitter.
It was number 6.
Okay, and the number 6 top play.
Yep.
For Saturday, April the 1st. So hats off to Riley, and congratulations to he and JC. And then on the mound, you had Treya Savage. I talked about how it was a shame that he was unable to improve to 5-0. But he went 6 innings, a career high, 13 Ks, allowing 2 runs, both earned on just 3 hits, and just issuing a couple of walks over those 6 frames. So another stellar start for Treya Savage. And unfortunately, didn't do what we needed to do to close it out with the bullpen there, taking that 4-2 lead into the bottom of the ninth. You know, yesterday in the second game of the series, once again, the Pirates battling out of an early hole and trailed 2-0 going into the fourth. Then put back-to-back 2 spots up. You had a big single by AMAC that tied it in the fourth. And then Josh Moylan, who had homered on Friday night, Josh came up with a big 2-out double to play a couple of runs and make it 4-2 in the top of the fifth. And that was a lead that the Pirates would not relinquish, after they extended it to 5-2 with a sack fly by Carter Cunningham a couple innings later. You did have the Cougars, and you had home runs by McMillan and also Malachi Lott, who had a very good weekend for the Cougs. But the Pirates were able to preserve a 5-4 win with Danny Beal doing an excellent job, needing just 15 pitches to go the last inning and a third of a shutout. Hitless relief to notch his first save of the season. And then today, once again, the Pirates were battling out of a 3-0 hole going into the sixth inning. And then yesterday it was the fourth and fifth. You had back-to-back two spots. Today in the sixth and seventh, you had back-to-back two spots. But then after the two spot there in the seventh, where you had the big two out, two RBI double by Luke Nowak that made it 4-3. Houston responded, and with some two out damage of their own, Lopez had the 3-run homer off the foul pole down the left field line there in the bottom of the seventh, and that's where things finished 6-4. And Pirates having just 6 hits in game 3 of the series.
Yeah, the Friday night's game was, man, I was so upset because I thought we win 2 out of 3 in this series. I didn't think we would sweep because it's a home. It's not a home series, so I said, okay, we win 2 out of 3. When we lost Friday night, I was really worried, and unfortunately, I was right about. I thought, you know, okay, we'll probably come out and win on Saturday, and then it's going to come down to Sunday. And I'm not Nostradamus by any stretch of the imagination, but I really thought we had that game won on Friday night. I really did, and just disappointing. You know, baseball, my mom always talks about how she said it again today watching the game with me. My mom and dad watched the game with me, and she says, man, how quickly baseball when can, you know, change. She talks about that, and she's so true. It's so true. And just like that, we went from winning the game Friday night to extra innings and getting your money's worth, but we didn't want our money's worth on Friday night, and losing 5-4. And then Saturday's game, you know, that's the thing. We could have, the thing about Saturday is we could have lost all 3 games. It was, do you think, one of the questions I had, Bubba, do you think Houston will be the team that challenges us for the regular season title?
They certainly could be. You would think that going into the weekend, perhaps UCF was going to be that team, and they still obviously could be. I mean, because we're 1 weekend into league play, but they dropped 2 out of 3 to South Florida. So we'll, here in a moment, we'll run through the league standings before we get out of here. But yeah, taking a look at it, you know, I wanted to first go to Shell's question. He said, not to monopolize the questions, but I heard today when watching the game that Josh Groves was number 3 in the AAC as a pro prospect. Is he ahead of Treya Savage? Well, Treya Savage is just a sophomore, and Groves is a junior.
Right.
So, I mean, not always, but generally when you see those types of rankings, it depends on the publication, but a lot of times it'll be by class.
That was Baseball America off the top of my head, right?
I know JC. I want to say somewhere in the top 4 or 5 prospects in his class, and I would guess that Treya Savage is probably higher than that in that same class. Mm-hmm. And then you have Josh Groves, who is, like I said, a junior, and that's very possible that he is the number 3 prospect. You know, with his height and with his velocity and the way he's pitched this season, I can definitely believe that. But Shell, we'll see if we can confirm that, you know, be it through D1 Baseball or some other publication.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, you're talking about Savage on Friday night, man. And then today with Josh Groves, he literally is when you think about the pitching, Bubba, we talked about that a lot and going into the season, but it just makes you feel good about eventually these bats are going to warm up. They're not going to be warm. They're going to be red hot. And when we're scoring a lot of runs and the pitching is lights out, you know, all you have to do is really worry about injuries. Bubba, this afternoon, I forgot to text you guys on this, but Have you heard anything on Garrett Saylor, his what his latest condition is as far as coming back?
I haven't heard an update, but I have seen on the ESPN Plus broadcast, it did appear as though, you know, Garrett was on the trip, that he was in the dugout. But if I'm not mistaken, it you can only see him from, you know, about the chest up, but it looked like he was in street clothes and not in uniform, but I may be mistaken on that. But not surprised that he didn't see action. Hopefully, maybe he'll be back in the mix by UCF.
Yeah, I think they're being smart, knowing that Cliff, his future as far as after East Carolina, but also for the fact that you're going to need him in May and June. And so when you don't have to pitch these guys and say, oh, my gosh, we need Garrett Saylor out there, that just says a lot about his trust for these younger guys. And with freshmen and sophomores, we got a lot of great pitching. So, some people are going to be worried. Obviously, we want to win, but we'll be okay.
Yeah, and Josh Groves, one earned run, three runs on three hits, and I know two of those hits left a yard, which has been something in the past, not this year, but prior to this year that he had struggled with. But one of the great things with Josh's performance is that you look at it, his command. He did not walk a batter today, not as many strikeouts. He had three strikeouts, but it's great to see Groves, his command getting – to where we wanted it to get to. You know, he was typically walking three or four each right. start. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm going back and checking. I believe now, I think the last two starts, I don't even think he's walked a batter.
That sounds right.
Yeah. He did walk one very late in the eight innings that he went, what ended up being a complete game against George Mason. So.
Oh. Okay,
so in his last, 13 or 14 innings, if not more, he's only walked one batter.
Well, again, there's a lot of positive things to talk about. And so it's easy, Bubba, and you're the best at stats, you and JR, but it's easy for us to sit up here and say, we didn't do this and we didn't do this and we didn't do this. Or the flip side is, that you look at all the positives that are coming out, and you know it comes down to mindset. We can continue to beat ourselves up as a fan base, or you know, play the blame game. And the bottom line is, we talked about it so many times. That's why in baseball there's 56 games. Like I was telling you guys in a group text, if this is football and you lose two or three in a row, you really freak out because there's only 12 games. When there's 56 games. And no, we don't want to lose, and we're not making light of the Houston series. But the way to correct that is win on Tuesday night, have a 4-0 week, right, Bubba?
Yep, and I was looking over some of the numbers. Going back to your question earlier, as far as the leadoff position and just the lineup in general. This is not surprising. You know, Cliff and staff, they typically employ a lot of different lineups, especially in non-conference play. And then I would expect it to probably be a little more consistent once league play wears on. But, you know, Jacob Starling, for instance, you know, I think he leads the team as far as the regulars, not by a ton, but by – small margin. He is, I believe, the top on base percentage, top in as far as walks and free passes. I think he's drawn 21 walks, so he's selective. He hits the ball well to all fields. So that's something that I know at times he can be prone to making a few base running mistakes, and we've seen, but he's someone that, outside of that last point, would not be bad at the top of the lineup, in my opinion. But now I really like Luke Nowak or Hoove there, just because it's a left-handed bat. It's what they provide, and not, and that's certainly not. But it's more so, you know, just what they provide once they get on, and their likelihood of getting on base and wreaking havoc once they get there with their speed, especially Nowak. But we'll see how things go this week, and, you know, what lineups we use and so forth.
Yeah, again, and I don't want to see like I'm armchair like coach, and I know coach hates that, and like with the message boards, but I was just curious about, you know that very thing. Do you tinker with the lineup? I'm just asking that, and I'll let him to be the expert and not me.
And now that I think about it, there was a game here in the last couple of weeks where Star did lead off. So
yeah,
I mean, you've seen Nowak lead off. You've seen JC lead off a considerable amount there in the first quarter of the season. You've seen Ryan McChrystal lead off. I think you've seen Hoove lead off at some point. So you've seen at least four or five guys do it, and so Carter Cunningham, obviously, all three games this weekend. I'll go back and check. I'm trying to remember who led off on Tuesday night against UNC Wilmington. It was Ryan McChrystal.
Yeah, and his back, they're trying to – they want his bat. They want his defense, but, man, try to swing a bat with a bad back. But McChrystal is one of those guys that's a real competitor, and they want his bat. And so we'll see how that plays out. But, again, I'll let him be the expert. I'm not trying to question Coach. So, Coach, if you're listening or watching, I'm not questioning you at all. That's just a question that came to mind, and I wanted to ask Bubba.
And kind of moving on, we said we'd run through the American scoreboard before we get out of here.
Sounds good.
So taking a look at things, I mentioned, you know, obviously in the American, you only have 8 baseball playing members. So in addition to the Pirates dropping 2 out of 3 to the Houston Cougars, you had Tulane, the Green Wave. We're hosting Memphis this weekend, and Tulane did take that series, a very competitive series, winning game 1, 5-2. Memphis bounced back with a 3-1 victory to even things on Saturday. And then Tulane needed 11 innings, but were able to get the 6-5 win to get a much-needed series win and some momentum as they begin league play after you know, through the first 25 games of the season. The Green Wave were 6-19, so now they're 8-20, but at least 2-1 in the American and begin league play on a positive note. Then you had Wichita State, the Shockers. They are 2-1 after taking their series from Cincinnati, winning 2-1 and 10-6 before dropping the series finale 9-8, and that was at UC Baseball Stadium. So now Wichita State is 16-11 overall and 2-1 in the league. And that's going to Cincinnati and winning a series that's something that we've found out to be pretty challenging. Even when we swept them, you know, it's been hard fought games. So that's a quality series win. You know, anytime you go on the road, but Cincinnati has proven to be pesky under their current regime, and hat tip there to the Shockers for getting that done. And then you had South Florida. I mentioned them taking 2 out of 3 from UCF. And I know the first two games were very low scoring. South Florida winning 2-0 and 3-2 before UCF staved off the sweep by winning a shootout 12-9 in today's series finale, and that was in Orlando. And so now UCF is 17-11, and the Bulls are 12-17, but 2-1 in the American.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see about being the first week of conference play, how we will do. In fact, we have NC State at home, and we got a four-game homestand. So, like Bubba said, it'll be Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right, Bubba, for this this coming weekend?
Yeah, the Pirates, 5:30 on ESPNU on Tuesday, as Wolfpack, who have around a top 10 RPI. I know Warren Nolan had them at ninth earlier this afternoon. So, yeah, that big matchup with Elliott Avin and the Wolfpack. And then on Thursday, 6, Friday, 6, and Saturday, noon, obviously all available on ESPN Plus, and then 94.3 The Game. And then, as Dave mentioned, so much going on in Greenville this weekend. You have the Purple Gold Pigskin Pig Out. You have that and everything that goes along with it on Friday. You'll also have the Parade of Pigs.
You know, oh, yeah, they're cooking those pigs. They have like 30-some cookers, a whole bunch this year. So congratulations to all the people, the teams that are in there. And, you know, I love that kind of thing. The only thing is I don't want to stay up all night like those guys do, and the men and women. I got to give a shout out to them for their hard work, because I would rather be sleeping. I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
I'm not missing them.
And the Pirates are 16-2 at home this year. And just those losses to Long Beach State, and then last Tuesday to UNC Wilmington. Next eight games are at the friendly confines of Clark LeClaire Stadium. So hopefully we can rattle off some wins and get back. Get right, so to speak. Anything is significantly wrong, but because you're going to have some ups and downs over the course of 56 games, but there are definitely some things we need to get ironed out. And I know we will. And the next time the Pirates leave Clark LeClaire, it will be when they come my way to play Charlotte in downtown at Truist Field on Wednesday, April 19th. So. Over these next two-plus weeks, about 2.5 weeks, hopefully we can make a lot of hay at home.
Yeah, like we said, we're 16-2 at home, so now is the time. And I tell you one thing right now, everybody's talking about midweek. All we have to do is we'll start right now with NC State. NC State beating them, how great that's going to be, how great that's going to feel. And I'll tell you what, I'm just really excited about the matchup against NC State. Like we said, it's an even bigger game. As Bubba, you said, was it 9? What was their RPI? 9. Yeah, so, 9, you win that game. Then you sweep. You have a nice 2 out of 3, or you beat UCF all 3 games. That place is going to be rocking on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Man, I'm just so pumped up, Bubba. I know that. A lot of great stuff. Are you coming to the spring game, by the way, for football?
Probably won't be able to make it. I'll be down at Oak Island, probably headed down there on Thursday. I was really hopeful that the spring game was going to be the following weekend. It makes it tough when it's on Easter weekend and you have stuff planned with family. But, unfortunately, doubt I'll be there. But I plan on making at least one, if not a couple of games of that Cincinnati series the following week.
All right. Well, you can celebrate my 50th birthday, right? So I'm looking to see how many friends I can get there. So that'll be really cool. And I know it's spring break for us. So I don't know about you guys, but it's spring break coming up starting on Good Friday. So we'll have that for our kids in, in Martin County. Pitt County has already had their spring break last month. Bubba, do you have anything before we go? I know we've got a lot of great programming coming up, including with our good friend, the retired strength and conditioning coach, Jeff Connors. I know that he's got a lot of amazing guests.
Yeah, Monday night's guest. Tomorrow night you'll hear from East Carolina's second leading rusher, and that is Leonard Henry, Pastor Henry. Still in his native hometown of Clinton, and doing great things there with the ministry, and you know, opened up and established a new church, and you'll hear his conversation about that as well as a whole lot more during an hour with Coach C. And other than that, priority deadline for the Pirate Club, ordering season tickets with your Pirate Club priority, reaping your full benefits there. But obviously, you can order football season tickets on up through the end of August and the start of the season.
Yeah, let's make and he started laughing when I told him this, Bubba, a few months ago. Coleman Spain, our friend, he's been great to us and does an amazing job in a Pirate. And he I talked to him on Friday, and he was talking about how passionate our fan base is. And he worked, at Cal, Bubba. But let's make him, he and all his staff, sweat because there's so many phone calls. 1-800-DIAL-ECU during business hours or anytime at ecupirates.com. Get your season tickets. Again, we're going to have Ryan Robinson, the executive director of the Pirate Club. We'll have him on this week. A lot of other great guests, people that are we're finalizing. We're just trying to get scheduling before I can make those announcements. But I appreciate Ryan Double R for his time. I look forward to having him on the show. Bubba, thank you so much, bro. Appreciate you so much for all your hard work behind the scenes. And we're going to get out of here. I'm going to watch WrestleMania, the biggest night in wrestling. Going to go do that. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, folks, what's left of it. And again, one more time, I want to thank our good friends at Next Level Training Center, nextleveltc.com, or you can give them a call at 252-756-NEXT. And also, pgxgloves.com. Thanks, Kaz, for your support of the program as well. Until next time, you've been watching Extra Innings every week right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. And as always, go Pirates.
Hey, Pirate Nation, this is former East Carolina pitcher Davey Penny of the Keith LeClaire era, class of 2003. Keep it tuned to the Sports Objective as you follow our Diamond Bucks on the road to Omaha, because y'all know we're going.
That concludes this week's edition of Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on the Sports Objective. Join us next Sunday night as we will once again talk East Carolina Pirate baseball. Be sure to follow the show on social media at the Sports OBJ on Twitter, at the Sports Objective on Instagram. Like and follow our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Listen to the show pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. As always, we appreciate you tuning into the show. Go Pirates!